just have to say, for the record, I don't recognize you. You've established a fashion pattern of on Monday you normally wear black, and then on Tuesday, black. Wednesday is normally a day you wear black clothing. Thursday's the same. And then Friday you like to end the week by wearing something black. Today you're wearing peach.
It is peach, isn't it?
Yeah. Who are you? What happened?
I do have a couple tops that are not black, but there's black in them.
But they're predominantly black.
Different
shades of black, different textures of black. And anytime you wear a color that is not black, it gets a lot of notice around here. People ask if everything's okay. Look at my voice. I can't even say it.
You're
I'm tearing up. Jasmine, a tissue if
you
could.
Okay?
Please, a tissue, please. What happened?
I just like to mix it up three times a year.
Didn't Johnny Cash at some point tell you you're wearing too much black?
Yeah, but you know, I was thinking about it the other day because you always comment on that, and I do. I wear different pants, sometimes camos, mostly jeans.
Yeah.
Sometimes gray.
Yeah.
But the tops are always black. And then I thought I could wear the same thing every day and no one would notice because they're all different.
They're all different.
But they're all black.
In the same family, though.
Yeah, some are lace, some are sweaters, some are blouses.
Yeah.
But I really thought about it. I could just wear the same thing every day and no one would really look at me any differently.
But for someone who's used to looking over and just seeing you wearing a certain thing, black clothing, it's every single time I look up, I have to hold on to something because I think the world is ending.
I wanted to invigorate you today, give you more energy.
It worked. Wow.
Yeah, I just...
Very nice.
I bought a new blouse. I wanted to wear it.
Although
it's
off.
For sale now, and to me, it looks too summery for the fall.
Because
it's peach. I'm tropical looking, kind of.
I'm no Ralph Lauren.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm not. But... I think what you're wearing right now could be worn at any time of the year.
Look at you.
I think.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but I am no Ralph Lauren.
No, you're certainly not. Are you Johnny Versace, the late great?
I'm not him.
Calvin Klein?
Keep going.
Mr.
Give me one
Blackwell?
More. I'm none of those people. I'm
late
none of
great
those people,
as well.
Also late and great. Ryan brought up in the news, there's a big story about toys that are dangerous, and he mentioned a group called World Against Toys Causing Harm. I've never even heard of these guys.
This is true.
That's a silly name.
When you started saying the name, I thought, because the beginning of the name is just World Against Toys, and I said, those people need to stop what they're doing.
It used to be Worlds Against Toys, but then they realized this isn't working. So they
right.
added some more words causing harm. Plus, it rolls
watch.
A little smoother. W-A-T-C-H.
Watch.
Watch. Exactly.
So they watch.
Yes. It used to be what, but now they're watch.
We've all had at some point a toy that could be considered dangerous, right?
Yes, especially when we were growing up.
Everything was dangerous when we were growing up. There wasn't a single toy that didn't have some potential ability to harm you in some way, shape, or form.
And every toy painted with lead paint, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, totally.
Just for you to eat.
Fun for snacking.
You got it.
Lick them while you can. We had, most notably, we had Click Clacks.
Oh, yeah. Those the giant marbles connected with a string.
Right.
That
and
was
you'd
fun.
You'd move it up. You'd move your wrist up and down, and then the two giant marbles would hit on the bottom, then the top, then the bottom, and the top. And 5 minutes of that, and then one of the marbles would fly off and hit you in the eye.
Mine never flew off. I did
no?
choke myself once.
Why?
Because I was wearing it. Bea Arthur was very popular, and I wanted to wear a scarf, and I put it around my neck, and it was too tight. Because the weight of the balls kind of
yes.
pulled it tighter.
Yes.
Mine never broke.
Oh.
And I could
I
do like around the world.
Could
I was
you?
Pretty good at that.
I don't know how you managed to do it without hurting yourself or somebody near you. Let's do this. We're short on time. We'll come back with more. Did you have any toys that were potentially dangerous? Because if you did, it's going to be tougher and tougher to make that happen. World Against Toys Causing Harm is out there making sure our toys are safe. 312-981-7200. Back in a minute, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Left, it's Wendy Snyder. Are you getting toys for your children or your grandchildren or yourself this holiday season? A watchdog group called Watch, World Against Toys Causing Harm, has named some of the more dangerous toys out on the market this year. One of them is a Nerf gun. I didn't even think you could have, well, like, yeah, I guess you could have guns because you see the Super Soakers are still very popular. But it's a rapid-fire Nerf gun. They said it's dangerous.
These Nerf guns are huge, by the way. My son's been to 3 birthday parties already.
Yeah.
And you can bring your own Nerf gun, and then they supply you with all the little Nerf bullets. And basically, they set up a whole indoor field with all of these barriers and stuff. It's like what laser tag used to be. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Is it two teams? Nerf does? Does it really?
Nerf darts. Yes, they do.
Not these ones.
When you have a kid who shoots you from like 4 inches away, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
They've got goggles. It's all supervised.
But Nerf is like the isn't that like one of those?
That's the old days. The old day Nerf ball where you'd get like the little basketball thing that you'd put on above your door.
Yeah, with a hook.
Yes. That Nerf ball was a sponge, basically.
Yes.
Nerf has changed.
It's harder now? I didn't know that.
It's still foam, but it's like a rubber-coated foam.
It's got a rubber tip on it, basically. So it kind of, like if you dropped it straight down, it would fall with the tip down.
Oh,
basically.
Really?
Yeah.
There's some heft in it now where it didn't used to be.
Ryan, when they play this game that you described, is it two teams squaring off, or is it every man for himself, or how does it work?
They rotate it. Yeah, it can be. Sometimes they put all of the Nerf guns in the middle of the facility, and they make everyone put their hand on the wall, and then when they blow the whistle, you get go ahead and pick your weapon, and then you have to retreat to wherever it is.
Wow.
And yeah, it's
that's intricate.
It is fun. Yeah.
I'd play that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
When's the next party? Wendy and I want in.
11 o'clock. Let's
All right.
go.
I can't wait. So they've mentioned that, the Nerf gun. They also mentioned something called Power Rangers Claw. They don't show a picture of it, so I'm just guessing it's a giant claw, but I don't know why that's dangerous. I can't figure that out.
Pinch yourself.
You could pinch somebody to death.
There are 5 texts in a row about jarts. Remember, I got you jarts for your birthday a few years ago?
Jarts may be the most dangerous toy of all time. I can't think of a toy that's more potentially dangerous than jarts.
Can I tell you, though, again, I never got hurt with them, and I played barefoot, and we had.
Oh, no. Did you really?
I mean, you get out of the way.
For anyone not old enough to remember them, or maybe you just don't. Here's what jarts were. You had a circle that was made out of some kind of like a vinyl, like a yellow circle, and you'd put one on one side and then the other one, what would you say, 10 yards away, 20 yards away? And you had 3 of these jart units that you would throw, and it was like a dart, but 8 times the size?
It was a metal-tipped dart that really could, if thrown hard, could go through your foot.
Oh, I think even on the box, it was a kid getting hit in the head with a jart. With
you
blood
could lose
just
an
spraying
eye.
Out of his head. Oh, yeah. You could lose anything.
Yeah.
Those
I never
were
got hurt.
So dangerous.
And someone said, I had 3 brothers. All toys were dangerous. They all became weapons. Lincoln Logs hurt.
Yeah, boy. See, you know how girls are smart and they think things out and they reason? Guys, just whatever they
you
have in their hand,
things.
They go, we can throw that at somebody. Whatever it is.
I don't get you guys.
Those Hot Wheel tracks, you know, those orange Hot Wheels.
You mean whips? Those, orange whips?
Yeah. Yeah, you whack someone good with that, especially little sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are mean.
It's not us. It's all guys. We're like cave guys. We just don't know what... If you give us something, we go, how can this be used as a weapon?
I had my own Hot Wheels track. I wanted Hot Wheels really badly when I was younger. My mom got it for me. Never in a minute, for a minute, did I think of whipping someone with them.
We don't even use it for what they're supposed to be used for, to set up a racetrack. Why would you do that when you can hit your friends with it? It doesn't make sense. The most dangerous one I ever got was on my 3rd birthday, a friend of the family. Keep in mind, I'm 3, and I got a wood-burning set.
That's the time you get... Well, I guess that's a little early.
3.
But you would do it, you know, under a parent's supervision anyway.
Yeah, well, hopefully. And I don't even think that's a toy that's available anymore, wood-burning sets.
My brother had one of those.
Did he have one also? But how old was he when he got one?
12 or above, I think.
That's about right. Even then, you want an adult nearby. A 3-year-old in a wood-burning set's not going to end well.
I burned myself on my Easy Bake Oven. That light bulb is hot enough to cook a cake. It's hot enough to burn your arm.
No, that's true. That's very true.
And then we had vacuum form. There was this thing that my brother had this, but they let me play with it. It was like a square sheet of hard plastic, and you'd put it on this little burner with a mold.
Yeah.
And it would just... like vacuum melt and shape into something else. You could make a car or something.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. And it got really hot.
It totally did.
Yeah. What was my... I had one that made little plastic cowboys that were like that. So you would pour the goop into a mold.
Well, the goop was another thing. I had like creepy crawlers and stuff. I had that too.
Yeah.
It was along those same lines.
Did you have incredible edibles?
Yeah.
That was the same as creepy crawlers, but you could eat them.
I ate the other ones too, and I survived. And I had, do you remember the Tootsie Roll Toot Sweets?
Yes.
That was the first time I was ever introduced to different flavors of Tootsie Rolls, because it came in the package and you could get refills, but they had vanilla. Mm-hmm. I guess they still have them. I saw them in our Halloween jar here at WGN
Orange,
Radio.
Orange, lime, vanilla, and cherry, I think.
And you would make a whistle, basically, out of a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
You'd basically warm it up in your hands, put it in this press. It was like Play-Doh, but with Tootsie Rolls. You'd make each side of the whistle, you'd put it together, and then you could make little flourishes if you wanted to put like a flower on the side of your whistle.
Right.
And it really whistled.
Yeah.
And then you would eat it.
Yeah. But that wasn't... Was that dangerous? That wasn't dangerous.
No, but it was fun. It's
so
just bringing me back.
That's the danger.
But
I could have
choked...
You could have choked
on a Tootsie Roll.
No, that's true.
I mean, what did they say when our kids were growing up? There was a thing, if you could fit it through a toilet paper roll, then it was a choking hazard.
Yeah.
Then how did kids play with Legos?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because everyone... Well, not just Legos, but half the toys out there are that size or smaller. Right?
Yep.
So anything is potentially dangerous.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Did you severely hurt yourself on anything other than the burns?
You know what? I was a careful player.
Really? Yeah.
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 I mean, if it was hot, I might have burned myself.
Then don't touch it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it wasn't like a third degree burn, but it's like, ow, it's hot.
Yeah.
One time I had, you know, one of those poppers, you know, it was a stick and it looked like a vacuum, but it would pop as you walked with it. I pulled the handle off, stuck it in my mouth, and I don't know if I got bumped fell, but it scraped the roof of my mouth and I was bleeding everywhere. To this day, my mom still says, oh, I remember that day.
That's the little, it's got like a clear dome, and when you push it, colored balls
pop
up.
Somehow I managed to pop that off, and I don't know why I put it in my mouth. Well, you put everything in your mouth, right?
Yeah.
I scraped the roof of my mouth really bad.
I never had one of those, but to this day, if somebody gave me one today, I'd play with it for 45 minutes. I don't know what it is about that thing. It was just fun to watch.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Nice colors.
Yeah, it's very, very soothing.
Patrick wants to jump in on this. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, how you doing? Back in the 70s, I remember we had chemistry sets.
My brother had one of those, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gave you a bunch of little things to try to make cool things, and then 5 minutes later, we just decided to put everything together in the same bowl and see what happens.
What happened?
Oh, you know, make stink and smell and
no explosion.
You just go on to something else.
No explosions.
No,
that's disappointing.
I remember that. My brother had that, and that's how Walter White started out.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Patrick.
His name, if they made that today, his name would be all over it.
Yeah.
The Breaking Bad chemical set for kids.
Why aren't they selling that?
I don't know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. Wendy, no break.
So, all right, let me read a couple more texts. Shrinky Dinks, those were great.
Those are fantastic. Not dangerous.
Well, you had to put them in the oven. Again, a little bit of supervision there would be nice.
Yeah.
I loved my Light Bright. The light bulb did get very hot.
As a kid, that was my all-time favorite toy.
And light tell bright. Me you couldn't choke on those little pegs.
The pegs, yeah, and they looked like candy.
Especially when they were lit up.
Yeah.
They
like the
beautiful.
Pegs from Battleship, right?
Yes.
Those pegs were very similar to.
Except those, Ryan, just red and white. With your Light Brights, you had seven colors.
It's true.
Very tempting.
Looked more candy-like.
So delicious.
Light Bright, making things with light.
Keep going.
I don't remember.
What a sight, making things with Light Bright.
Oh, yeah.
With refills, you can make Popeye and Bozo the Clown.
Oh, yes! I never did.
Yeah.
Someone says I ate all of my Play-Doh. We all did. It's really salty.
All of it? You just want to try a little bit of Play-Doh.
I had one of those original slap bracelets that were made out of metal. They don't make those anymore.
What are they, plastic now?
Yeah, they're all plasticky now.
You know, back to the Play-Doh for a second. It's on them because they show you on the box, there's like a hamburger that's made out of all different Play-Doh.
Spaghetti.
They make yeah, so that's kind of their suggestion of, you might want to take a little bite just to see if you like it or not. You're not going to, but try a little.
God, we put everything in our mouths as babies, don't we? I mean, I know that's the only way you're figuring things out in life. But, you know,
there's a curiosity.
Yeah, but even when we're old enough to know better.
Right. Still, yeah.
Oh, this is an interesting thing. What should I do? I don't know. Taste it.
Yeah. Put it in your mouth for a few minutes. See what it tastes
like. Guys, I got a statement, by the way, from the Toy Association on this latest list.
What
they
did
are
they say?
Not satisfied. They said that this organization did not test the toys in its report to check their safety.
Oh.
Their allegations appear to be based on their misrepresentation or misunderstanding of the mandatory toy standards.
Interesting.
We got toy drama here, people.
Fidget spinners were kind of dangerous, too, weren't they? Or
I'm
no?
trying to think if they... Why would they be dangerous?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Somebody's texted, fidget spinners were the it item a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't see them anymore.
You can pop part of them out sometimes, and I guess you could swallow them.
Oh. But again, any of those things were swallowable. They were all just the right size where, if you wanted to, you could. Not saying you should. Saying
right.
you shouldn't, but...
All right. Well, watch for dangerous toys this holiday season. Tech Tuesday, we'll check in with Bridget Carey in about 15 minutes. Hello.
Thanks, Ryan.
How are you?
I'm fine. Couldn't be better.
I want to talk about this commercial, and we may have to do it on the stream. I want to find the link, and we can put it on our Facebook page. It's a German commercial, and it's been making the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, hang on, I got to find it, that this is the most touching, shocking commercial for the holiday season.
Oh.
And I don't like to give spoilers, but I feel the need to do it.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Is it the drum one? The dad and the daughter
drum? No, the drum one's really cool. This is about an elderly man who is getting ready for the holidays.
Yes.
And all of his kids are calling him and saying, you know, oh, Dad, I wish I could make it, but I can't. We're really busy here.
Yes.
So it's the most powerful Christmas commercial ever.
Oh.
And
wow.
I kind of have to spoil it in order to...
More than Santa Claus going down a cartoon hill in a Norelco shaver? It can't be more poignant than that.
Well, that one's fun. This is sad and tugs on your heartstrings. It's the most watched Christmas commercial.
Really?
40 million views on YouTube
now. It's new this year. It never ran before this year. And it's in Germany?
Yes. Jasmine, I'm going to send this to you.
Wendy, I love German Christmas commercials. How am I not aware of this?
I don't know what to do here because I'm going to have to spoil it. Can I just say maybe watch it and then we'll talk about it later?
I can't judge because I don't know what it is and I don't know what's being spoiled. Is there some twist ending?
There's
at the
a
end?
Twist ending.
Is it Santa Claus?
No. All right, I'm just telling you, if you don't want it spoiled, you can go watch it yourself, but I'm going to explain it. There's an old man who, it's Christmas time,
yes.
And each one of his grown kids are calling and saying, you know, hey, I can't make it this year, something's come up, I'm really sorry, Dad, but I can't. So
I think I've already guessed the surprise ending.
All right, well, hang on. So they show him making like a standing rib roast and he's eating by himself with the Christmas tree in the background and it looks really sad and depressing.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they show his grown children getting phone calls and they each get a phone call and they're looking very sad. So they all get together to go to his house because they got news that he passed away.
Wow. Wow, that's
so
awful.
They all go to his house, his apartment,
yeah.
And he comes walking out and says, it's the only way I could get you guys here. That is not fair or right.
Wow.
I would have left.
That's horrible.
Isn't that a tip? He's like, there was no other way to get you guys here. Wait, how else would you all have come?
But people are
and they laugh, and then they sit at this table that's all set, and they're having Christmas goose or whatever, and they're enjoying themselves. I would have been like, Dad, that is the rudest thing you could have ever done. See you later.
it's getting all these hits online. Are people enjoying this? Because I think that's a cruel ending.
I do too.
That's but horrible.
People are like, oh, it's a tearjerker. Oh, it's great. It's
think
not.
About if you're, take away the fact that it's a commercial. Think about if your own parent did that to you.
I got thinking about that.
Faked their own death to get you to come and visit them. I mean, a lot of emotions come into play, but I think anger would be at the forefront.
Well, that's what I mean. They all kind of looked like they were shocked and appalled and couldn't believe that he walked out of the kitchen and the table was all set because they all came there to kind of comfort one another and meet up at their home.
But instead, he's still alive. That scoundrel.
What is wrong with people? I know it's just a commercial.
What is it an ad for?
That I can't tell you.
Is that a surprise too?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Is it an ad for deceit and trickery?
But isn't that a terrible thing?
Yes. Yes.
And then you start thinking, maybe I put too much thought into it, but then I'm thinking, boy, if you have to fake your death to get your kids to come see you,
right.
then screw them.
I'm not positive they really love you.
Yeah, but so why do that? Just say, you know what? Screw you, kids. I raised you now. Where are you now? Now that I need you. Jasmine, I sent you the thing if you want to put it up there.
I want to see it.
I want people's opinions because I just think that's a horrible way to start the holidays.
So during the reveal, during the surprise twist that Dad has not passed away, he was just in the other room and he shows up. The look on the kids' faces is what?
Shock.
Are they shocked?
Not really relief, but then it shows them all laughing and toasting and having dinner, and it's
Dad.
Like, how could you forgive him? Barbara has called us, 312-981-7200. Barbara, what's going on? Did you see this?
No, I didn't, but I want to tell you that my main family is in Minneapolis, and I live in the Chicago area, and I'm known as the relative that shows up for all the happy occasions and not the funeral. This commercial shows that people will go out of their way to show up to bury somebody, but will not make the effort to spend time, happy times with them when they're alive.
That's so true, Barbara. You nailed it. That's dead on true.
That is true.
Fake dead on true.
Yeah.
So we just had an occasion last weekend that second cousins of mine were being honored for somebody, and it conflicted with our granddaughter's first birthday in New York. And all the relatives said, we couldn't imagine having this without you, but we understand that your granddaughter took preference.
I don't know what to say. And I do, I guess this commercial is a couple years old, but
is
the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what it's for. Barbara, thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate it.
That happens.
I just don't. Somebody said, just watched it. Darn it, I'm crying. It is. It makes you sad.
But then because it's like, why? What makes you sad? Because of the realization that
you don't
have time for somebody until you have to have time for somebody.
So make time. You know, switch things around. The holidays are for people to be together.
Yeah, I was gone and I wanted to come back and spend some time with the two of you.
Oh, you're the best, Steve.
So here we are.
Thank you. I just need to know what product is behind this. My guess, Wendy, buttig lunch meat.
Yeah, because for the holidays, you always wrap it with cream cheese and scallions and make those little bullseyes.
The way Dad loves it.
Wendy, when you get old and your children never visited you, what honestly would you do? I wouldn't fake my death.
That's the logical choice.
This video is touching to me because I believe the point was to make them realize that they needed to see their father more often because he won't be around forever. Get a grip. I know what it's for.
But then when he really does die,
no
you'll
one's
be like,
gonna come.
I don't know if he's dead or not. You know how he is. You know how Dad is, always pretending he's dead.
The boy who cried dead. They're not going to believe him.
No. Would this, I know this is crazy, but I stand by this question. Could this play in America? Is this the kind of thing that in Europe, Europeans would just go, well, so you got to do what you got to do?
I'll tell you, I could be wrong on this because I've never even been to another country.
You've been to Epcot.
Long time ago. But Europeans, to me, put more value into their families than we Americans do.
You're so right. So maybe they're more willing to forgive and forget when Dad pretends to be dead just to get them to visit. In America, you would sue your dad if he did that.
I would sue him. 100% I would sue him. Says more about the kids than dad. Come on, Wendy. Shows that the kids are too busy for their dad. I know what it shows. I just don't. I think it's a terrible thing that he has to resort to that.
Isn't it, though? I mean, I know we're kidding about that, but it's that's the saddest part
that's
of
heartbreaking.
It is the realization that if you're the dad, the only way I can get them to come and visit me is to pretend that I'm dead.
And again, it goes back to why would you want to see them then?
Right.
I know it's you want to see your kids, but if they can't take the time for you.
Right.
Oh, I don't think you ever want to stop want to see your kids.
No,
even
I get that.
Even if you're desperate.
Yeah, but you would fake your death to get your kids to come see you?
No, I couldn't do it again. That first time probably was less.
If this was done in America, it'd be Matthew McConaughey in a Lincoln driving to his dad's funeral and talking to himself while he's driving.
You're right. Would the casket be in the back? Because there's
maybe.
Room.
Yeah, there is room.
630, I have two thoughts. Either the kids are jerks because they don't care, or do the kids not want to come around because the parent isn't nice to be around?
Oh, I didn't even think about that, but that has some value.
But it's still your parent.
They don't show this guy's backstory. They just show him faking his own death to get his kids to come and visit. I wonder if he's been a bad dad.
Well, he's alone now. He appears to be widowed.
Yeah.
And just please remember your parents so they don't have to fake their death.
Yes.
That's what we take away from this today.
That's true. All right, a little break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN, and it's also a Tech Tuesday. So enter Bridget Carey, senior editor over at CNET. Bridget, how's it going?
Oh, you know, it's only like almost Black Friday, sort of, kind of. So I guess we're still good. Have you heard all these Black Friday ads that even though it's not quite yet, it starts earlier and earlier every year, and it has us busy over at CNET.
And the gist of most of them is Black Friday isn't just Black Friday. It's, you know, it's a week-long or a two-week-long celebration, right?
Or like 2-month-long celebration.
Yeah.
Because it kind of even started like a week after Halloween. And now it's, some of the advice I would give folks listening is that you don't have to, because of this constant bombardment of deals, you don't have to panic on Black Friday, on Cyber Monday, if you didn't get that one item you really wanted. Because you're seeing deals now, so snag it now if you can, if there's something you know you want. Don't wait because it could sell out. And then if you do miss it, because you missed it on the big Friday or the big Cyber Monday, don't worry because there's always a second wave in between then and Christmas. So I think you can use tools online to kind of do price alerts, you know, so you can kind of get an alert sent to your email. It's like, oh, I'm looking for an Apple Watch. I just saw the price drop. You know, like there are tools out there on the web to be smart about it instead of spending all your time, you know, scrolling through and, you know, knowing if it's a deal or not.
And I think if you know something that you want to get, you know, maybe wait till Black Friday and see if it goes on sale. And if it doesn't, then just go about your business anyway. I have an iPhone 6S and I need to upgrade because it keeps crashing out on me. And I went to our particular carrier and said, you know, I want to get 4 new iPhone 11 Pros for all of us. There are 4 lines, 4 people in our family. And it was so expensive. It's like over $1,000 for a new phone. And the person at the store actually said, call our loyalty program. And if you tell them, hey, what can you do? Because if not, I'm going to switch carriers. Good news, bad news. The good news is they dropped $450 off the price of the iPhone. The bad news is you got to pay up front. So lo and behold, I only got 2 iPhones. Mm-hmm. And now I'm waiting. They told me to wait till Black Friday to see if there's a buy one, get one. So these loyalty programs, and I believe you can do that with your internet providers as well, just tell them flat out, I want to make this work, but I'm going to switch companies if you can't do anything better. And 8.5 times out of 10, they're going to come up with some way to save you money.
That's really smart. And another thing that's smart is at the cash register for the big box retailers, they can honor what the competition is charging. So if you're like, man, I don't want to jump in the car and go to Best Buy and then go to Walmart and then go here and go there, you can actually, and I've done it myself at the counter of Best Buy, I would show them my phone and say, hey, Target is selling for this price. And it really was just so I didn't have to feel like I was jumping around. And they went, okay, let's check. And they have to, they can't just, you know, take the website's word for it. You know, they have to do a little double checking
on their computer. Yeah, but they match it in a second.
Yeah, and you might annoy the person behind you if they have to wait another 5 minutes, but hey, you know, at least you're saving money.
And no company wants to see you, a potential customer, walking out the door to the competition, so they'll bend over backwards to make that sale in their store, won't they, Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have these price match as their policies. The only thing I would warn against is that you can't just, like, Google on Amazon and find something. They kind of want to make sure it's a real, a real legitimate retailer or Amazon proper and not some third-party rando person online who's selling for cheaper. They won't match that.
And someone has texted, hearing that iPhone 11s are having nothing but problems. Any truth to that? My kids haven't had one issue with it. It's just weird getting used to the no home button. Jasmine, have you had any problems with your iPhone 11?
Not at all.
Yeah. So
I think every once in a while, everyone's got a little bit of a complaint about something being different now and again. I've heard some complaints about those new AirPods in your ear, right? the earbuds, essentially. Some people have connectivity issues once in a while, but nothing that is like overarching as a problem of the device itself.
Bridget, I have a question, and I don't know if you talked about this last week. I wasn't in on Tuesday, but Singles Day is a huge thing in Asia. They do billions of dollars of business online. How in the world has that not been transferred to the United States?
What is Singles Day?
It's a day where if you're not in a relationship, if you're not married or dating somebody, you treat yourself to a present.
I do that every day.
Right. They also call it Wendy
<I'm>
Day. In Asia, they call it Wendy Day. Well, how did they not?
It was like November 11th, 1111.
That's it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like a 24-hour shopping event. It's just like a Black Friday, but even bigger because people just want to, you know, a lot of people on Black Friday anyways treat yourself, you know. Like,
sure.
I know when I'm shopping, it's like, oh, wait, I needed that anyways, and I end up buying more for myself anyway. So I guess it's just an illusion that we're really shopping for others sometimes.
Right, yeah.
And I saw the Motorola Razr phone, and one of my kids said, hey, look, there's a Motorola Razr phone that's coming back. And I said, I have the Razr. I loved it. And this looks kind of cool. It's a flip phone, but when you flip it, there's a full screen like you'd have on an iPhone.
Yeah. The inside of that phone is entirely a long rectangle screen. And it's folding like and curving the screen as it collapses and closes shut. This is something that is coming out next year, but they showed it to the press. It goes on sale the day after Christmas and on pre-orders, and actually goes on sale properly in stores on January 9th. But it's $1,500. It's like the cost of two phones. We have a couple questions still about it. You know, okay, this looks cool. You know, you can get that satisfying, you know, flip phone experience again. But wait, like, how durable is it? And how long is that battery going to last? And, you know, and is it fragile? Because Samsung made a Galaxy Fold that is a phone that's a smart screen where the screen itself folds into itself. And it had some issues the first time. It had to be redone. So, you know, you've got to take a closer look before you drop $1,500 on it, but it is kind of a fun concept. It also was a phone that was at a different time. You used to shut your phone, and then you were done with your phone, and then you put it in your pocket. Is there ever being done with a phone now when you have constant dings and apps? We use our phones differently now, so I wonder how much of it is just fun versus something that is going to be maybe a different way of using a phone that maybe makes us think differently about smartphone use.
It might be good for you, Bill, because you do, like, when you get home, you don't really
turn it off.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, Bridget, you'd see a time where a telephone would cost $1,500?
Oh, man.
I know they're amazing. They do incredible things, but a telephone is $1,500.
But you don't even need a laptop or desktop anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the tough part about that price tag, I mean, you're paying for the wow factor that you can show it off, because people are buying their phones now for cameras. I mean, that iPhone 11 that you got, it's got like three cameras in the back, you know, and this Razr, it's got one. So in terms of getting your money's worth, it's really about showing off, hey, look, everyone have a Razr with a screen that folds. It's not really about like the camera.
Bridget, I use a portable princess phone, and I get the same wow factor out of it.
We only have about a minute left, but Disney Plus has happened. We've gotten it. It's pretty great. And streaming Disney Plus to a Vizio smart TV is about to get easier. Explain this as quickly as you can.
Basically, some smart TVs are kind of working out the kinks with how to get Disney Plus on there. Vizio said that in December, if you have an Android phone, you'll be able to stream it there. But right now, it's only iPhone. So, yeah, a few tech hiccups, I think, in these early days as all these devices are trying to figure out how to get Disney Plus to work. But they announced that it will work smooth if you have a Vizio TV and an Android device.
Excellent. We've done it through the Fire Stick, the Amazon Fire Stick, and there has not been a hitch, except for the first day.
Yeah. that happened to almost everybody, right? Yeah. Have they corrected all those problems, Bridget? Is that a thing of the past, or are there still lingering problems with that?
Not that I've heard of. I mean, I was streaming this weekend and yesterday, and there's no issue. Yeah.
Everything's good? All right,
pretty
good.
Great. Well, thank you so much. She's Bridget Carey, senior editor at CNET. You can find her at CNET.com or on social, Twitter at Bridget Carey and Instagram at Bridget Happens. Happy Tech Tuesday to you.
And thanks. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Bridget.
Still to come, we are going to talk about an alternative version of Thanksgiving stuffing. I know you don't like turkey. Do you like stuffing at all?
It's okay.
All right, well, there's a special stuffing you may like a little better. We'll talk about that after the news, and the news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I have to tell you, I grew up on White Castle. I've been lucky enough to always have one near me.
You've purposely chosen houses near White Castle restaurants.
We have.
Good real estate move.
And everybody likes a good slider, I'll tell you that right now. But if you're not into Thanksgiving, Bill, I know you don't really like turkey.
Right.
Stuffing is okay. There might be something that will change your mind this year. It's our own Ryan Burrow in the newsroom has done this for many years. The White Castle turkey stuffing. We're going to talk about that right now with Darren Cotton, Chicago Regional District Supervisor for White Castle. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I love White Castle. I always have. And I just tasted stuffing that Tabitha has just made for us. And I kept asking her, what kind of breading, what kind of breadcrumbs have you used? And it's just sliders without the pickles, broken up, and you add some celery, some thyme, some sage, some pepper, and some chicken broth. This is outstanding.
Yeah, this is a time of the year where a lot of our customers come into our restaurant and just really enjoy making the stuffing. So they come in, they swarm our restaurants early morning, Thanksgiving, even the night before, and they get a ton of sliders, no pickle, to make their stuffing. And it's been huge for the last 5 or 6 years.
I have a crazy idea.
Uh-oh.
Make the stuffing at White Castle. Could you do that?
We can do anything.
That would be nice.
Yeah, we haven't thought about that, like a pre-made stuffing.
Yeah.
So you just come in and grab the stuffing and take it home and put it in the oven, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking? Yeah.
With some orange Fanta?
You got it.
Not everybody's happy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now, I think you overheard when Bill was in elementary school, his mom, how many times a week, honestly?
Usually about 3 times a week. We would get White Castle the night before. I'd bring them to school, keep them in a refrigerator at school, the teacher's refrigerator, and then they'd let me at lunch go down and microwave them in the teacher's lounge.
Wow,
and
you were privileged.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because once you smell a slider, I'm sorry, those steamed onions, that's all you want.
Kids would trade me anything. I got a bike that way.
Oh, I'm sure.
White Castle's for a bicycle.
Yeah, White Castle is really powerful when it comes to things like that. In case you guys didn't know, we just opened up a brand new store in Scottsdale, Arizona.
You did?
Brand new. Our first White Castle in Arizona, and the lines were like crazy.
Oh, I bet.
People didn't mind waiting 5 hours to
How
get inside
the
restaurant.
Oh,
we operate in 13 different states.
Yeah.
Yep. 13
and where
different
did you
states.
Start?
We started in Wichita, Kansas in 1921.
How much were the hamburgers back then?
5 cents.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, not physically buying it, but yeah. I remember reading that.
Yeah.
And I've heard great things about the quality of the beef that they use.
Yeah, 100% pure beef.
No fillers.
And I mean, it's a product that customers like love. That, you know, the great thing about White Castle, we create a ton of memorable moments and customers really, really love it. They have stories to share, like your story, sure. Bill. And yeah, we like to say the crave is a powerful thing.
I've heard you guys say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it is.
Was White Castle the first, Darren, to do the square hamburger? Hamburgers were traditionally round, but then White Castle, I started doing square ones. No one did them before you guys.
No one did them before us. Later in the years, we had Crystals that, you know, came out with something not quite our product, but they tried. But yeah, we were actually the first hamburger fast food chain in the United States of America.
You were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was years later when some of our competitors, the Burger King, the McDonald's of the world,
came. Steal your thunder.
Yeah, they tried.
Good luck,
fellas. All right. And the little holes in the patties are so they cook very quickly and to flavor with the steamed onions coming through. Is that why there are holes?
That is correct. Yeah. It allows for the burgers to cook through without us actually having to flip the burger. Mm-hmm. So it allows the steam to go through. So every burger has five holes in there set on a bed of onions and the steam goes through and that's how it cooks.
I always loved when I was a kid, you'd go in and whoever was making the hamburgers, you know, a giant tray of hamburgers, there was like a glass window where you could stand and watch them make it. And now they don't always do that anymore. Why do they stop doing that?
Yeah, I mean, in some of our older locations, we still have that.
Yeah.
We call that the show, right? We want to show off our talent making the burgers. We want to show the quality of product that we have. And so, yeah, we still have it in many locations. But in some of our newer locations, we have what we call the Kitchen of the Future.
Yeah.
So you can actually see it, but it's not like the show back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when did they start calling them sliders? I know it was White Castle hamburgers. And I'm telling you, White Castle got a bad rap for a while. It was like if you were out drinking all night, you would stop at a White Castle. Of course, someone else was driving. And, oh, man, they go right. There is a quality product right there, but I don't recall them being called sliders originally, were they?
Yeah, well, I've been with the brand now for 22 years.
Wow.
And in my 22 years, I've always known it as a slider. So
here's why that's funny. At our school, there was a legend that if you went in and said sliders, they wouldn't serve them
right.
to you.
Really?
But then they started calling them sliders, but now it's that way you can't call them Whitey One Bites or you're out the door, right?
Yeah.
I never heard
out
that.
The door, Wendy.
It's probably one of those things that we should have patented because now if you look at other fast food chains and other restaurants, everybody has a slider on
right.
the
Yes, you're right.
So yeah, that's the good thing. We were the original sliders.
What's the record? Who's eaten the most at one time?
Wow. Well, we've done competitions in the past, and we do have people that have been ate hundreds of them at a time.
Hundreds at a time.
Well, yeah. On a good day when you were younger, how many could you really put down?
When I was a kid, I would have 10 normally. And now three or four is about my limit. I can't do more than three or four just because I don't know what happened to me, but I used to do 10 without even thinking about it.
Well, last year we sold 640 million sliders, 640 million White Castles in 13
states. How many onion rings?
Onion rings are great too. Chicken rings, cheese sticks.
Your cheese sticks are really good.
I mean, and then we also have our retail division where if we're not in the states in which, you know, you can come into one of our restaurants, you can go to, you know, any one of our Jewels and Aldi's
they
and big box stores and they sell them frozen.
Yeah.
And it's the same product, just a little microwave, but it's not the product on the grill, but it's still the same product manufactured by the same company.
I have a confession to make. I usually get the cheese sticks for the ride on the way home, car sticks, as I like to call
them. What's wrong with that?
But that's then good. I hide that's the evidence great. When I get home because I haven't saved any for them.
You haven't
so
saved.
I throw it in the outdoor garbage can. So if anybody from my house is listening, sorry, they're that good.
You've divulged the secret here.
I know.
Let's do
this. Well, just help them out. Get a sack of 10 and, you know, eat a couple and take
I'm
the rest
I'm talking
in.
About the sack of 10.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm kidding.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking White Castle and why wouldn't we be? Chicago Regional District Supervisor for White Castle, Darren Cotton, is in the studio with us. The thing we're kind of talking about today is the White Castle turkey stuffing recipe. And you said that's been going on for how long this recipe came up?
The recipe's been going on for like the last decade.
Who came up with this?
One of our customers came up with it. And from there, we used to have what we call a recipe contest. And actually, we still do. We have a recipe contest where people take our sliders and create all type of recipes, whether it's lasagna using a White Castle, whether it's spaghetti, whether it's some type of pasta. And this recipe had won. And once the recipe had won, it now became, you know, something that we do nationally throughout our company. And the customers come in and they love it. It's on our website.
The
recipe is on our website. We also, every restaurant that you visit, you can get a copy of the recipe.
Yeah.
It's on our retail boxes, so the product that you get into the Jewels and the Aldi's and stuff,
right?
The recipe is on there because you can use that same product to make the stuffing as well.
Oh, that's excellent.
This is how helpful White Castle is. On the little boxes, it tells you to wrap it in a paper towel and how long to heat it. I mean, sometimes you question it, and if you overheat it in a microwave, it's not going to be as good.
Right. So true.
Yeah, you got to get it right at temperature.
Yeah.
I also, you guys had like an A1 burger for a while where it was just a regular slider with A1 sauce.
Oh, that was one of my favorites.
We have stocked A1 in our house because the kids eat it like that all the time now. I kind of like the double cheeseburger. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tasty. You did Sloppy Joe burgers last month, or is that still going on?
So the Sloppy Joe burgers is
going on now.
Yeah. And that'll go all the way until January the 1st with the Sloppy Joe burger. So, yeah, the Sloppy Joe burger
is
good.
And you invented shrimp nibblers, didn't you?
We did. We've invented a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that people are still learning about White Castle. So it's almost like, did you know? So did you know that White Castle's in China?
No, really?
See? There we go. Yeah, so we're now opening up our fourth restaurant in China.
Yeah.
And it's doing very well.
What are the differences between the Chinese versions of White Castle and our version? Are the stores set up similarly?
So all the stores are like a storefront because China is so big and so overly populated. It's no like drive-through. So you wouldn't get the traditional drive-through. But you can get the slider, the original slider. But then they also custom the menu to cater to our Chinese consumers.
Yeah.
And so you may get a tofu slider.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
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 Do they have, you know how it's very much in fashion now to have a plant-based hamburger?
We was the first QSR, first quick service restaurant to introduce the Impossible Slider.
Yeah.
So it is a plant-based, but it smells like meat, sizzle like meat, even tastes like meat. And we were the very first QSR restaurant to have that.
What's QSR again?
Quick service restaurant.
Okay. Instead of fast food, it's quick service restaurant.
QSR, yeah.
And what's the deal behind the White Castle? Why is it a castle? Why is it so clean and gleaming?
In 1921, that was one of the things that we took pride on, making sure that our locations and restaurants were clean. The customers had a really nice place to come to. And so the castle is, again, more like, you know, being purified and just clean and a great atmosphere. And so that's how it started.
It has a royalty sound to it.
It does have a royalty sound.
If you guys in Burger King had a battle, who do you think would win?
Oh, absolutely. We would.
White Castle would.
Yeah, we would. I mean, one of the reasons we'll win is because we have we have our slider queen, which is our president and CEO, Lisa Ingram, who's the fourth generation family member that's overseeing our company and is doing an amazing job with it. So,
oh, that's great. Four generations of
fourth generation of the same family. So in 2021, we'll be 100 years old.
Wow.
How many family-owned businesses do you know be around 100 years?
Yeah. It's rare.
That'd be us. So we're ready to have a big birthday party.
You guys still do the thing on Valentine's Day where you change the restaurant a little bit.
We do.
Step it up, do some red lighting and stuff, right?
Yeah, so so every year Valentine's Day, this has been going on for about 20 years now. We decorate the dining room.
You have to make reservations.
You have to make reservations.
Right? We laughed at you when this came out years ago. I have to tell you.
Yes, it does.
We have fresh flowers on the table. We dim the lights, throw a little red tablecloth in the ceiling so it can look nice and delights. And we have our fantastic team come out and serve you. You have a menu. It is the best fine dining restaurant that you can go to on Valentine's Day.
How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
And when I was in high school, my high school boyfriend really loved White Castle, and he took me inside one time. I never ate inside, and it gets served to you on a paper plate. You don't get the little boxes. That was kind of exciting, although I do like playing Tetris with the boxes after you eat them.
Yeah, so, speaking of Valentine's Day, Reservations open up January 1st.
Jeez.
And
do
typically
people make
by
reservations
typically
for Valentine's
by February the 1st, yeah, all of our restaurants are sold out. So if you want to get your reservations, you know, let's go on Open Table or contact one of the regional offices and make your reservations.
Is there violin music in there, or am I imagining it? Didn't they try that at
you
some
You know what?
Point?
We have some locations where some of our talented team members may come in and play the violin.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
May play the saxophone, the guitar, and one of our restaurants in Joliet, Illinois, they almost have a whole band there. And it is amazing. Like,
that's great.
It's really, really good. The customers enjoy it.
You know what was romantic when I was a kid was none of the other places that served food were open 24 hours. The mere fact that you guys were open around the clock, that had a very nice mystique to it as far as I was concerned. It still does, because sometimes you're hungry at 2 in the
morning.
Yeah,
I mean, Wendy's started the show off talking about going there late at night.
Yeah.
And White Castle for 100 years have owned that late night business because it wasn't nowhere else you can go. And
right.
Now we have some of our competitors that has tried to come in, but we still own that late night. What
yeah.
else go good with after having a nice cold beer? White Castle.
Sure. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
True.
Don't you love it? I know you're aware of this. A lot of weddings now, like as the wedding is winding down, they'll send a guy over to White Castle and they'll bring back 100 hamburgers. It's the best.
Yeah, so we get a lot of that, especially my general manager, Gloria. Her and her team gets a ton of orders. Gloria delivered an order last week from our South Loop location downtown. It's the wedding is over.
Yes.
Crowd's getting ready to leave. Let's have some White Castles
yeah.
to finish up the night.
Yeah.
And we get a ton of that during the wedding
season. So good
season.
At the end.
It is.
You know, I often have made fun of you, Bill, for many
yes.
reasons. But,
yes.
you know, when we worked together before, you didn't have a briefcase or anything. You just had a lunchbox
right.
that you brought.
That's right.
And people laughed at you. But I think you could use a Crave case
oh, yeah.
as your briefcase
Easily.
Now and
right.
look really cool.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
And I want to say about the Crave case, I had a friend, and I have completely stolen his idea. Whenever somebody would have a party and everybody gets this, you know, list like, oh, I'll bring BLT dip or I'll do this, he would always stop and pick up a Crave case to bring to a party. And it went over so great every mm-hmm. time. So this holiday season, if you're stopping at somebody's house, bring a Crave case.
Bring a Crave case.
No one is going to say, what are you bringing that for? They'll thank you so much for doing it. No one can pass up a slider.
Absolutely. And all our restaurants are open 24 hours on Thanksgiving. So, yes, definitely stop in.
One more weird question. I know this is a weird question, but has White Castle ever toyed with the idea of making hamburger-sized hamburgers? I know they're known for their smaller hamburgers and they're delicious, but did anyone ever say, you know what, we should, let's just try it and see what happens? Has that ever been a thing?
No, not to my knowledge. In my 22 years, I have never seen it, but yeah. that 2x2-inch slider our customers love,
sure.
right? So we've never toyed with having a bigger slider than that 2x2-inch slider.
Well, the little ones are fun because you can pretend you're a giant while you're eating them.
That's correct.
That's what
not
I like.
That little.
Yeah.
How many bites do you do them in?
Normally 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say about 3.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's standard, isn't
that's
it?
That's standard.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're so good. All right. Well, he is Darren Cotton, Chicago Regional District Supervisor for White Castle. Hopefully, you're lucky enough to have one near you. If not, you can pick them up in your grocer's freezer, and they really do heat beautifully. Also, the White Castle turkey stuffing recipe, again, just very briefly here, you 10 to 12 White Castle sliders, you take the pickles off of them, you just basically rip them up, mix them with celery, diced celery, as for your seasoning, thyme, sage, black pepper, and then you use some chicken broth to moisten it. And I'm telling you, it is really, really good.
Seems
right?
easy. It is.
Yeah.
It is easy. It's
and
really
how long
good.
Will this take? That doesn't take long to prepare, right?
No.
It's pretty
no.
simple.
It's pretty simple. You
yeah.
pop it in the oven. 35 minutes, and you're good.
And this particular recipe that you can find at whitecastle.com, we'll also put it up at wgnradio.com. It makes about 9 cups, enough for a 10 to 12 pound turkey. So if you have mm-hmm. a 20 pound turkey, just double the recipe.
Double the recipe.
And would you agree, Wendy, I know you've tried some as well, it's unmistakably the taste of White Castle. I mean, if you gave it to somebody and said, guess what this is made out of, it's pretty easy to determine that it's White Castle, which
yeah,
is great.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But with the seasonings,
yeah.
it really does taste
Presses
like
it up.
Stuffing.
Yeah, right. It's like
the
a hybrid.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's right in the middle.
Well, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having White Castle on the show, Bill and Wendy.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
Every day. Bring it by every day. We're not going to say no. Come on.
We
Thanks,
really
Darren.
Appreciate it. Again, White Castle turkey stuffing recipe, you can find it at whitecastle.com. You can follow White Castle because their social media, they're very good with that. And again, Darren Cotton, Chicago Regional District Supervisor for White Castle. And that's happy Thanksgiving to one and all. We appreciate
it. And find one of the White Castles that has that Coke machine with 1,000 different variations on Coke.
Oh, that's
that
almost every last location has it. So, yeah, you can hook up any kind of flavor drink you want.
Yep.
I'm curious to know how many people listening right now are going to swing by a White Castle for lunch today.
All of them.
Because really, it is the power of suggestion. When it's brought up, that's all you can think about until you have one.
Yep.
It's what you crave. You know
what
that.
You crave.
You can use that, Darren. Feel free. Thanks for coming up. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Hey, here comes Santa Claus. Here comes
Santa Claus. Are you in the mood yet?
Now I am. Yes.
All right. The Magnificent Mile Lights Festival is just the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the city does a nice job with it, Wendy. No question.
And in the studio with us right now, volunteer chairman of the Magnificent Mile Lights Festival, Gail Spreen, has joined us. Gail, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be here, so thanks so much.
I can't tell you how exciting this is. My kids are older now, but bringing them when they were younger, just being an adult is the most amazing thing. Lights, yes, indeed. How many are there? Quite a few, huh?
There are. It's like a million lights that get lit coming down the avenue, and we're actually the third largest parade in the whole country. That a lot of people don't know that, but it's really great that Chicago can put on, and the Magnificent Mile Association can put on such a gift for the city of Chicago to get, you know, to bring all of this together. So we're excited.
For years, we here in the Midwest would watch the parades they would do in New York City or even like the Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena, and we'd always say, why can't we have a quality, fantastic parade like they do? And now we do. You guys have made it a world-class parade.
Right, absolutely. So
good. It's about time.
Yeah, it is about time. All right, so there are helium-filled balloons, there are lights, there are everything. I wonder who the Grand Marshals are going to be this year.
Well, I can't say it's a big secret, but Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse are our Grand Marshals again this year from Disney. So we are really excited as they come down the avenue. And the parade is on Saturday night. So as they this Saturday, the 23rd, the step off is at 5:30 at Oak Street up by the Hancock Building. And as it comes south, Mickey and Minnie turn on the million lights all the way down the avenue. And so as the lights get lit when they come down, the viewing stand where is televised is in front of the Wrigley Building.
Okay.
And then they come across the river to Wacker. And there's still people that will, you know, are lined all along this whole location. And then at just before 7 o'clock, there is the most magical fireworks display that you can see. You know, the fireworks in the summer are really fabulous.
Sure.
However, the ones, I think it's because the crisp air at night along the river, it just sparkles. So you don't want to miss the fireworks as well.
Nice.
And just the excitement of Christmas coming up, too, that makes it sparkle more in your heart as well.
Absolutely. You know, I've worked this parade for probably about 17 years, and I've worked all different points throughout the whole parade route. And it is so fun, and it keeps you coming back every single year to be like watching these kids, watching the adults. They're so excited, and it's just the most heartwarming, family-friendly, free, you know, experience to do it. So every year you just want to come back again because it is, you know, it's just a really, really special, special event.
And I believe yesterday Mickey and Minnie Mouse turned 91 years old.
Oh, they look great.
Wow.
They look fantastic.
I want to look like them at 91. Yeah.
I think Botox.
They're using a moisturizer. Thank you. Thanks very much. What time do you recommend people getting there?
I would get there early. And actually, it's really a two-day event. We have Lights Festival Lane that's at Pioneer Court in front of, kind of by the Tribune building at 401, by the Apple Store. And that runs from 4 o'clock on Friday till 8 o'clock on Friday evening. And there's all different things. You can do photos with Santa. There's Eli's Cheesecake. There's just so many different things you can see on Lights Festival Lane. There's also entertainment that's going on. There's a stage with music, different performers. And on Saturday from 11 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock, Lights Festival Lane is open so people can again come and enjoy throughout the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 4:30. The streets start to get closed. close, you definitely want to be down before that.
Right.
And then you get your special spot for the parade, and you know, and then hopefully go to dinner and stay in a hotel after.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a perfect
evening.
That
is a good weekend. Is there any particular spot that's better than the others? Or really,
we won't tell anybody. Where's the secret best spot? Just between us.
You know what? There's so many good spots because you're coming, you know, you're all along the whole route, you're able to see the parade and see the lights. So, you know, if you're really wanting to see the fireworks, then being a little more on the south end by the river, you know, you're getting a little bit better view of the fireworks if you're further south.
And
but still, it's good all along the whole route.
So anywhere you stand will be good. Is this light related because of the Disney Light Parade? I mean, when did Mickey and Minnie get involved in all this?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure of the exact year because this is our 28th year.
Wow.
And so back at the very beginning when the parade started, it was just called a procession because the city didn't allow Michigan Avenue to have a parade.
Mm.
So it was called a procession. It's only in the last few years that they actually, you know, we can officially call it a parade. But they used to only be able to, they couldn't stop the stoplights or change the stoplights back at the beginning. So they would go one block.
And have
they'd
to
have
stop?
To wait and stop. And then they'd wait till the light turned, and they would go the next block. So it
so
has
3 days
really,
later.
Really grown, and it has now to be the third largest in the country
tremendous.
Is like, you know,
that's
really
pretty incredible.
And to Wendy's point, great. Disney does have something of a history with parades. They do great ones at the theme park, so you would think they would be able to transfer that to our parade.
Right, and it's always grown. We believe we get about 1 million people come downtown for the whole event.
That's
so
tremendous.
It's really great. And if people go to the magnificentmile.com site, you can get all the details of everything that's going on because we have new things from that are happening this year. We have from balloons to marching bands to entertainment that may have been here in the past that are coming back, but there's always something new as well.
Yeah.
And what's the best place to send people website-wise to find out the schedule? And are there VIP packages being offered again? I don't know if they're available. I know that some people do like to spend the extra money and get to see it from a very special location. Are those available again?
There is. You go to the magnificentmile.com to get the full schedule of all the different events that are going on and the entertainment. A lot of the VIP, it's a very limited seating area, so a lot of those have already been kind of claimed for that. But
there's still, you need to find out when it's starting and all the festivities as it kicks off Friday afternoon at 4 p.m.
Gail, other than Mickey and Minnie as Grand Marshals, are there other celebrities in the parade this year?
There's always great celebrities.
Yeah.
We have Ryan Cabrera is going to be back. He's definitely a favorite.
Yeah.
And
where would people know Ryan Cabrera from?
One of his popular songs is All the Way Down.
Yeah.
And probably a little more from the 90s kind of time frame.
Yeah, right.
Echo Smith will be here, which is a
love
trio.
Them.
They will be here. Skylar Stecker will be here. Parachute is another one. There's a sister duo, 2XO, who is a Disney group. Matt B., who is a Chicago native.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these names. I'm sorry. I am very unhip.
Spirit Brigade.
You had me at Echo Smith.
Jasmine is part of the Chicago Spirit Brigade.
Yeah. But she's bitter about not being named Grand Marshal. So don't get in. Trust me. You don't want to bring this up.
Okay.
I'm very upset about that.
You know, we actually have 600 volunteers that help us to actually, you know, get the whole parade to actually accomplish this. So we have positions for everybody. So we do have parade marshals that people volunteer for. We have people that are balloon handlers.
Last year, I blew up the balloons, Gail, and that took all year.
Yeah.
it was so taxing.
But we really appreciate
it.
No,
I'm glad to do it. Can you say who the balloons are of this year or not?
Well, like a couple of them are our favorite. The 35-foot Hubert balloon by Imo Harris. Yeah, it's great to see Hubert coming down the avenue. So we did even have to have the trees trimmed along Oak Street and Michigan Avenue just to be able to get these large
balloons. The balloons?
To accommodate
the
balloons?
Yeah,
them. Wow. Right, and there's a new Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer balloon. So there's always new.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. You brought the girls down here when they were younger, didn't you? What kills me is watching the eyes pop out of the head of these little kids when they see these balloons and all the lights. It really is a magical time for families this holiday season.
I got to be in the parade twice, and one of the times my girls came down because you had the cast from High School Musical, and they couldn't wait to meet them. And then when they met them, they froze up. They were afraid to talk to the kids from High School Musical. But they were right up next to them. Just no words exchanged.
Right. It's so fun to see their faces just light up.
Oh, sure.
From Santa to the entertainment. Yeah. You know, that's why having different entertainment for different age levels is really good because they all can connect with different ones.
Spend the weekend downtown. It's this coming weekend. Friday, it all kicks off at 4 p.m. with the Lights Festival Lane in Pioneer Court. The parade is on Saturday, and it would be a good idea to try and book a hotel room and spend the weekend with your family. That'd be a nice thing.
Absolutely.
I would enjoy that.
Yep. We welcome everyone.
And you can go to themagnificentmile.com to find out the schedule of events. Also, they're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Just Google themagnificentmile.com. Magnificent Mile Lights Festival. And she is Gail Spreen, volunteer chairman. Thank you so much and happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. Happy holidays to you,
bye,
too.
Gail.
And
thank
hope
you
to
so
see
much.
You at the parade.
You got it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Quick break, and we are back with more show here on 720 WGN.
Did you ever read a story and are you out of breath?
Yes, I am.
Well, lay down for a little bit. You'll be okay. Everything's fine. Did you ever read a story, and then when you're done reading the story, you understand less about the story than before you read it?
Yes.
All right. There's a story that materialized last night about a couple from Kankakee that wanted to stay in a hotel, and everything was fine until they announced that they're from Kankakee, and then the Hampton Inn, the hotel in question, refused to let them stay there because they have a no Kankakee residence policy.
They can't do that.
I don't think they can do
that. Where is the hotel?
Nearby in Bradley, Illinois.
Oh.
A Kankakee couple says they were denied a stay at a well-known hotel, spoiler alert, it's Hampton Inn, because of where they live.
It's well-known.
They said the receptionist, it is well-known. They say the receptionist told them that based on their address, they would have to go someplace else. The couple lives in Kankakee, and they are proud of it. But they said one hotel, Hampton Inn, turned them away solely because of their no Kankakee guests policy. I didn't know such a policy existed. Anthony and Jeanette Davis have been living in their Kankakee residence for 15 years. Last month, the couple said they were having work done in their home, so they went to the Hampton Inn in nearby Bradley, hoping to book a one-night stay. They said they handed over their credit card and ID, but there was a problem. She said, the woman working the desk, "I'm sorry, I can't rent to you guys." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because of your address. You have a Kankakee address." They were shocked. The couple said that they asked to speak with the owner, but they were then told it was the owner himself who came up with the no Kankakee resident policy.
That is so not right, and is
no.
it legal?
I don't, well.
I guess it's legal, but it's.
We were totally disrespected, Jeanette Davis said. I felt let down. I felt puzzled. Kankakee? What's wrong with Kankakee residents? They said the receptionist told them that a while back. Now, here's the part where it will all make sense. A while back, a Kankakee resident pulled out a gun on another guest at the hotel.
Well, that doesn't make all Kankakee residents bad people.
No.
Because of one ne'er-do-well.
Right. Oh, I don't know if it was a ne'er-do-well, Wendy. I think you're jumping to conclusions. It was just a guy with a gun. I told her, "What do I have to do with that? I don't have anything to do with somebody pulling a gun." And at that point, she said, "I'm sorry, I can't rent to you." The couple said that they ended up staying at another hotel next door. You know how some hotels don't have that no Kankakee resident policy, Wendy? She was lucky enough to find one of those. The hotel chain said, Hilton is the owner of Hampton Inn, for people who don't know. Hilton is by nature a hospitable company, and we are welcoming of all. That's the hotel spokesperson. The couple said the owner of the Hampton Inn eventually called them back, offering them $1,000 and a steak dinner. Oh, it's hard to turn that down.
If they stayed away from the media.
If they stay away from the media.
That is not enough. Make it $10,000 and a whole cow.
Right. Right.
If now
you're gonna,
we're talking.
If you're going to dive in the pool, jump in the deep end. What are you doing? But the Davises say this is not about money. It's about standing up for the people of Kankakee. I love Kankakee, Jeanette Davis said. We pay our taxes. We are homeowners. They acted like we were bad people. The owner of the Hampton Inn responded to ABC 7 saying that policy has since been rescinded and it happened more than a week prior to the couple filing a complaint. Oh, handy timing.
Yeah.
Very handy timing. The couple is basically using this as a way to extort money from us.
They didn't take the money, though.
They did not take the money, nor the steak dinner. And it doesn't specify what sort of steak.
It was at the Hampton Inn right. cafeteria.
At their cafeteria that they're not allowed into. The village of Bourbonnais released a statement saying, on behalf of Mayor Paul Shore, well, imagine
Pauly being, Shore imagine is their being, mayor?
Right. Yes.
This gets worse by the minute.
I know, that's the worst part. I'll take the money and the steak dinner if my name doesn't have to be Pauly Shore. We would like to confirm that the Hampton Inn featured in today's ABC 7 News iTeam story contains a Bourbonnais mailing address. However, it is located within the village of Bradley. We do not condone this type of discrimination, and we are welcoming of any business community regardless of their address. So the hotel is backtracking just a little bit. But like I said at the beginning of this, very little is answered in all of this. I know that their story is somebody came into our hotel a while ago. They're not even specific on when exactly this happened. And that person had a gun. And because of that, we can't allow anybody from Kankakee to stay in our hotel. But it doesn't explain the reasoning behind that. That's not how things work. John Wayne Gacy lived in Illinois, but I've never been told I can't stay somewhere because John Wayne Gacy was from Illinois.
I just wonder if, and I don't know, I didn't see the couple, but if I was at a hotel desk working, what if they looked like people that were going to cause trouble? Like maybe they were disheveled right. or seemed drunk or
so
something.
So you think maybe they were using this as an excuse to not let the Davis family stay at their Hampton Inn?
I don't know, because it seems like a really stupid excuse.
What if, control group, control experiment, Wendy, you had two couples each vying for a room at the Hampton Inn. One, they just happen to live in Kankakee. The other ones, they look all disheveled and dangerous. Would you let those people in if they lived somewhere else that was not Kankakee? Or would you let the Kankakee people in? How would that work out?
Well, Kankakee, listen, I don't know. I've never worked a desk at a hotel registry, but I know that sometimes maybe there are people that come there that are drunk because they don't want to go
sure.
home. And sometimes you're thinking, boy, this might be a problem for
right.
me.
Right.
Can you turn someone away? Or do you just make up that we have a policy? Oh, you happen to be from Kankakee? We don't serve your kind.
I've always thought that you had to post if there was somebody you were discriminating against. Like, remember the no shirt, no shoes, no service
yeah.
thing? That you couldn't call somebody out on it if you didn't have it prominently displayed. That if somebody came in and they didn't have a shirt, you'd have to say, hey, you saw the sign on the front door, right? You're not wearing a shirt. You get no service. You have to leave. I've always been under the understanding that if you were discriminating in any way, shape, or form, you had to post it somewhere just to prove, just to say, look, I'm not just doing this because it's you. This is the company
policy.
Yeah.
But the company
yeah.
says it wasn't their policy.
I know.
That's very interesting.
I thought when I first heard this story, because Bradley is just minutes away from Kankakee, right? So I thought they didn't allow Kankakee people to stay there because they might be people who were using the room by the hour, wink, wink, as opposed to...
Oh, like
for
a four-hour nap
Yeah,
place?
Yeah, yeah.
So what?
Except if you're a hotel, you don't want to be known as the hotel that caters to that.
Yeah, but if they charge them for a one-night stay and they only
yeah,
stay for an hour...
I guess.
That's a bonus.
That is it. Yes. Yes, it is.
In more ways
yes,
than one.
Yes, it is. Yes. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to the stream. We would love to have you join us. Or stick around for the Wintrust Business Lunch.
And the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.